Well, this morning I want to speak about five responses to the coronavirus. There are many responses to the coronavirus, but I just want to speak about five responses this morning. And one of the responses is a negative response, so the other four I would expect that the people of God should take notice of, and that we should be doing the other four responses. Well, if you think about the coronavirus, it has sent shockwaves throughout the world. Never before have countries round about the world gone into complete lockdown like we've seen. We know that there's been other pandemics, but in the world today, we've never seen countries go into such a lockdown. The coronavirus is before our eyes every day. You turn on the news and one of the feature stories for the last couple of months will be the coronavirus. You listen to the radio, the coronavirus will come on. I went down for a swim down at Merriweather just the other day, and I was reminded about the coronavirus as I saw these big yellow signs, keep your distance. The water was freezing, so I didn't have to worry about keeping my distance because there was not too many swimmers down there. But I'm reminded wherever I go, if I go out for a walk, if I go out for a bike ride, if I listen to the radio, if I watch the TV, if I get on the internet, I'm constantly reminded about the coronavirus. And it's very hard to have a corona-free day. Has anyone had a corona-free day lately? It's pretty hard not to be confronted about that virus. Well, as I mentioned, I want to speak about five responses to the coronavirus. And the first one is actually a positive one. Nations around the world have taken precautions. And we've been told to take precautions by our government. And that is a good thing. In actual fact, when you look in the Bible, when there were pandemics or diseases in the Bible, God's people were asked to take precautions. If you read Exodus chapter 15, Leviticus 11, Leviticus 13, Leviticus 14, Leviticus 15, Numbers 5, Deuteronomy 14, 23, they are just a number of examples where God's people were to take precautions in the face of disease. In the Bible, we have guidelines for physical health. We have guidelines for the quarantining of the sick. We have guidelines for sexual health, for dietary health, for mental health, for spiritual health, and even for community health. Let me give you an example. In Leviticus 13, verse 4, the Bible says, "Then the priest shall shut him up that hath the plague 7 days." That's an example of quarantining a person. And Numbers 5, verse 2, "Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper and everyone that hath an issue and whosoever is defiled by the dead." So the Bible gives clear guidelines for prevention of disease and for the treatment of illnesses. In the Old Testament, if God's people wanted some advice on health matters, then what they had to do was hear God's words and heed God's words. So God, through his word, would give his people advice on health. And if they obeyed God's words, then some diseases could be prevented. Exodus 15, verse 26. "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." I truly believe that there are diseases today that Christians won't get. And particularly if you think of the area of sexual diseases, if we obey God's word, there are sexual diseases that believers are free of as long as we obey the word of God. So for all diseases, I believe it is wise to take precautions, and the government has given us precautions, and it's wise to take notice. Well, a second response to the coronavirus has been a negative one, and that has been panic. People have panicked. There's been panic in the shops. There's been panic seen in a number of places. If you watch the TV, you'll see that panic has happened throughout the world. I read a story on news.com.au, and it was reported on the 16th of April this year that one man in South Australia had tried to get a refund at the supermarket on some excess toilet rolls that he had purchased. And it was a very interesting story because the supermarket refused to refund the nearly 5,000 toilet rolls that he wanted to take back. For some people, the response has been panic, and I think for this man, his response has been profit. I would assume that he bought the 5,000 rolls to sell on and put it on the internet or something like that. But I actually did the calculations, and this man with the some near 5,000 toilet rolls, I estimated that he would now have enough toilet rolls for the next 100 years at one a week. The coronavirus has created panic. It's created panic in shops. It's created panic in the workplace. It's created panic and even fear in homes. And I need to say that believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should not fear. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, whilst we ever live on this earth as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be some sort of trial or some sort of trouble or some sort of terror in the world. And our response must not be fear. Jesus said to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I was doing a bit of a study this morning on the words, be strong. It's a great study. I'd encourage you to go through your Bibles and do a be strong study. Ephesians 6 verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When Paul wrote to Timothy, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the book of Joshua, Joshua 1 verse 9, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid. The book of Deuteronomy 31 verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, fear not. It's a great study. I encourage you to go home and do a study where God told either individuals or he told the nation of Israel to be strong. Be strong and of good courage. And we need, in this pandemic, to continue to be strong, and we need to be examples to unbelievers around us. Thankfully, we know that this is not our permanent residence. This place of trial, this place of trouble, this place of terror, it's not our permanent residence. We are heavenly citizens. When Paul wrote to the Colossians, he said, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. When Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, for our conversation, and that means our citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We as believers need to be reminding ourselves that God is in control of every situation that happens on this earth, that God is King, that God is in charge of all that happens in this world. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 47 verse 7, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The coronavirus did not take God by surprise. And I believe that in actual fact that the coronavirus will be used of God for his will. If you've ever read the book of Habakkuk, in Habakkuk's day, the prophet was grieved with what was going on. He was very grieved. In fact, in Habakkuk 1 verse 1, the prophet starts out the book this way. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry? Some terrible things were happening in Habakkuk's day. God was bringing judgments. And Habakkuk was concerned, and he had a burden, and he wanted God to hear his cry. But this is what God said in Habakkuk 1 verse 5. "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvellously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you." Through the tragedy, through the terror, through the trials, through the turmoil in Habakkuk's day, through the judgment that God was going to bring, God was doing his work, and God was working out his purposes in Habakkuk's day. And God is working out his purposes in our day. And you and I need to trust that God is in control, and that we can trust him in every situation we face. The psalmist said in Psalm 73 verse 26, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Well, we can have different responses to the virus. The third one I want to speak about is prayer. We should be praying through this virus. We should be praying for the churches. We should be praying for believers. We should be praying for unbelievers. Wouldn't it be terrible to be an unbeliever in the situation that we're facing now? There are unbelievers that are terrified. They have no hope of heaven. They have no hope of the Saviour. They have no hope that God is in control. They have no hope of God's word. It would be terrible to be an unbeliever. That's why we as believers actually need to be reaching out to those that do not know Jesus as Saviour. Well, a good response is prayer. Job 5:7 says this, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upwards." You know what a good response to Job 5:7 is? It's 1 Peter 5:7. So remember, when you're in trouble, you might say, "I'm having a Job 5:7 day." Well, have a 1 Peter 5:7 day as well. Job 5:7 says, "Yet man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward." 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Job 5:7 day? Have a 1 Peter 5:7 day. Just look at the word. If you're worried about the virus, then just commit your concerns to the Lord in prayer. Someone has said this, "Why worry when you can pray?" Well, I agree with that. Why worry when you can pray? Philippians 4 verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You want God's peace? Be a person of prayer. Be a person that trusts God's word. George Mueller, the man who cared for thousands of orphans in Bristol, in England, George Mueller was a great man of prayer, and he wrote this, "Only a life of prayer and meditation will render a vessel ready for the Master's use. I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk about, when I lie down and when I rise up, and the answers are always coming. Thousands and tens of thousands of times have my prayers been answered." I'd encourage you to read the books of George Mueller on prayer. A man of faith, a man that didn't make public appeals at all. And yet he provided, or the Lord provided through him, for thousands and thousands of orphans in England. And you actually can look up the internet today, and it's called Mueller's, and it's the continuation of George Mueller's work. George Mueller knew that prayer was important. We should be praying at all times, but particularly we should be praying that unbelievers might be reached through this virus. Pray for our government. Pray for those in positions of leadership. Pray for those that lead churches. Pray for those that are in the school system, for principals and teachers. Pray for the nurses and doctors. Pray for those that are in business. You know, there are business owners that have been absolutely devastated because of the coronavirus. There are business owners that have no hope because they don't have the gospel. We need to be praying for them. Pray for our government. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Saviour. We need to be people of prayer. A fourth response to the coronavirus is that we should have the right perspective as believers. It's very easy to get the wrong perspective. We need to have the right perspective, and that's a perspective guided by the Word of God. We need a godly perspective rather than a worldly perspective in the face of the coronavirus. You know, if you get all your information from the media in regards to the virus, then you can become very fearful. There are some people at present that are so afraid that they don't want to go out of their homes because of the coronavirus. They just don't want to go out. They don't want to go shopping. They just want to stay at home. And I guess if they've got their TV on all day long or their radio, they're hearing negative messages all the time and fearful messages, and so some people won't go out. I think we need to look at realities in Australia when it comes to the coronavirus. I want to look at some facts. As of yesterday, the Australian government website shows us that since the 22nd of January 2020, that the total deaths due to the virus in Australia is 104 deaths. And that's sad that 104 people have died. And we know that the government has put in a lot of safety measures, and they've spent a huge amount of money in controlling the virus. But we need to have a correct perspective on this. If the death rate continues as it has, then it might be possible that we could have 200 to 300 deaths in Australia in 1 year if there is a bit of a spike. I mean, it could be a lot more if there's a major spike. But if you think about it, it's been 104 deaths so far. So it's reasonable to think in 1 year of the pandemic in Australia, and we can be thankful for what the government has done, that there may be 200 to 300 deaths in a single year. Now, if you think about something like tobacco, the death rate in relation to tobacco use in Australia is 20,000 people per year. 20,000. It's conservatively estimated that almost 6,000 people die from alcohol-related deaths, and that's about one person every 90 minutes. Worse than that, in New South Wales, from July 2018 to June 2019, there were over 20,000 abortions in New South Wales. And it's estimated that each year there is over 65,000 abortions in our country. So if you think about it, the combined estimates of alcohol, of tobacco and abortion, the combined estimates of those deaths are 91,000 people who lose their lives annually in Australia out of alcohol, tobacco and abortion. That means that there are 250 people who die each day unnecessarily from alcohol, from smoking, tobacco-related injury, and that may even be someone that's never smoked, because in the past, if you worked in an office in the city or you hopped on a train in the city in the 60s and 70s, sometimes you might get on a train and it was filled with smoke. or you might have been a secretary in an office that was filled with smoke. But if you think about it, there is 91,000 people who lose their lives annually in Australia from alcohol, tobacco and abortions. And that does not include those who die from drug abuse. In the United States, it's estimated that there is currently, as of yesterday, 132,000 deaths, I should say, due to the virus. And that's a lot of people. But if you look at the statistics, in the United States, annually, there are 480,000 tobacco-related deaths. And in 2018, there were 870,000 abortions. The total unnecessary deaths in the United States is in excess of 1.4 million people without taking into account thousands of drug-related deaths. 870,000 abortions, 480,000 tobacco-related deaths, and 88,000 deaths that are related to alcohol in the United States. In China, it's estimated that there is over 1 million deaths in China each year to smoking, with around 316 million adult smokers. And according to a BBC article in 2015, China carries out over 13 million abortions each year. China is losing over 14 million of its population each year to smoking and abortion. I think the governments of the world should be sounding alarms to far worse pandemics than the coronavirus. In Australia, alcohol, abortion, drugs and smoking are taking the lives of more than 93,000 Australians each year, whereas around 94,500 Australians were killed in the conflicts of World War I, World War II and the Vietnam War. So we're losing, and that I haven't included in drug-related deaths there, so we're losing every year 93,000 Australians in unnecessary deaths. The coronavirus has taken just over 100 people so far. We should be sounding the alarm. We should be sounding the alarm about alcohol. We should be sounding the alarm about smoking. We should be sounding the alarm about drugs. We should be sounding the alarm about abortion, because they are pandemics that are far more severe. We need to take a reality check on what's really killing Australians. Our minds must be shaped by the Maker and not by media. We need to have a godly perspective on the pandemics in society. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said this: "Our light affliction," he says, "which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." We need to have a right perspective. You know, the biggest disease of all mankind is not the coronavirus, it's actually the disease of sin. And all of us have got this deadly disease, and the wages of sin is death. And there is only one cure, and his name is Jesus. Jesus went to the cross for all our sins. He died on that cross. He poured out his blood so that we can be forgiven. The Apostle John, all the Bible writers had a right perspective of life, but John said this. Here's his perspective of the world. He says, "The whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world is in trouble," according to the Apostle John. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This world is sick. It is sick in many ways. But we have hope if we have Jesus. I want to ask you this morning, is the Lord Jesus your Saviour? Are you sure of going to heaven when you die? If you walked out of here today and you got run over by a truck in Layman Street there, I hope it doesn't happen, but if you did get run over by a truck, would you be in glory? Would you know that I'll be in the presence of the Lord? Absent from the body for the Christian is to be present with the Lord. Have you trusted Jesus as your Saviour? We need to make a deliberate choice to look at this world from God's perspective. It is a sick and dying world, and the world needs Jesus Christ. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 8, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Paul had a positive attitude in a very negative world. We can have a positive attitude in our negative world as well. And the last response I want to give you to the coronavirus this morning, it's another P, and it is proclamation. We should be about proclaiming the gospel. It is a prime time, I believe, to be proclaiming the gospel to a sick and dying world. People are afraid. People have death, disease. It's just on the TV, it's on the radio, it's confronting them all the time, and we need to have a response of proclaiming the hope that we have in each of us. Peter said to the early church, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Even the atheists, even the agnostics are confronted today about their own mortality. Every atheist watching the TV would realise that death is stalking the world. Death is stalking the nations. And the atheist and the agnostic, God might use this as a megaphone to speak to their hearts. We need to be proclaiming the gospel. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Are you sharing the gospel? Are you maybe giving hope to someone on the phone and saying, "Well, there is another perspective to this. I believe that God is in control. I believe that God rules the universe. I believe that we don't need to be fearful. That we can actually have peace in the pandemic because of Jesus Christ." Have you shared with people the hope that you can have in this pandemic? I've written a track recently and it's called Coronavirus, Is There Hope? And we have a pastor here, Pastor Nathan, and Pastor Nathan has ordered 16,500 of these to put out in his area. Now, that's wonderful, because if someone gets something like this in the letterbox, it's a good chance that they'll read it, because it says, "Is there hope?" And in here, it has hope. It has hope that there is a future world beyond this world, and we get there because of faith in Jesus and what he's done for us. So this tract is designed to actually give people the hope in the midst of the pandemic. We can put out tracts. We can make phone calls. We can write letters. We can speak to our family. We can be living witnesses in a dying world. We can show them that we have the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, because our hope is in Jesus Christ. You know, it reminds us, the coronavirus, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that we might actually be in the end times. We might be nearing the time where the Lord Jesus is going to come for his people. Jesus said this, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man." What were the days of Noah like? Well, the days of Noah were full of immorality and full of violence and full of deception. And Jesus indicated that when he comes at his second coming, it's going to be like the days of Noah, days of deception, days of violence, days of immorality. And I think as the world gets darker and darker, that the believer in the Lord Jesus needs to be listening for the trumpets, the trumpet call of God for his people at the rapture of the church. You know, I think through this virus that populations are being now even more prepared for a cashless society and the eventual mark of the beast. You go to some places now, they don't accept cash. What's the excuse? The coronavirus. We don't accept cash. Read Revelation 13, 16 to 18, and you'll read there about the coming mark of the beast. The coronavirus is being used to promote increased global surveillance and global control. And the global surveillance and the global control is preparing nations of the world for the coming of the Antichrist. Today we have false religions and false teachings and false prophets that abound today, as foretold in the scriptures. 2 Timothy 4 verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." We're living in days of apostasy. There's apostasy in the pulpits and there's apathy in the pews. There are many Christians that are not looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus. We're living in an apathetic time in our history. We should be sounding the alarm. We should be praying. We should be sending out the good news of the gospel. Somehow, some way, we need to be getting the gospel out to someone somewhere. That's your job. That's my job as a believer. Somehow, some way, we need to be getting the gospel out to someone somewhere. If you're a believer, you're to be involved in the Great Commission. Do you know, you're either a missionary or a mission field. That's true in the church here. You're either to be a missionary for the Lord Jesus, or if you haven't come to the Lord Jesus, you're a mission field. You need to come to know Christ as Saviour. We are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 19. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself and imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are ambassadors. We are to be heavenly representatives in this world of sin. We are to tell people of the love of the Lord Jesus. Well, what's your response to the coronavirus? A good response is precautions. A negative response is panic. A great response is prayer. A godly response is godly perspective. And the believer's response should also be proclamation. We are to be missionaries at this time, and I believe we are to take advantage of what is happening in our world today and give people the hope that we have within us. We need to be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine
or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I want to ask you, are you saved? Do you know Jesus as your Saviour? If you know Jesus as your Saviour, you must have correct responses to the coronavirus. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you so much that we need not be afraid. Lord, we know that we are to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks us a reason for the hope that is within us. And we need to do that with meekness and fear. Father, we thank you so much that we can be more than conquerors through him that loved us. And Father, I want to pray for anyone here this morning that is terrified because of this virus. Lord, that they might just focus on you, that they might get their information from the Word of God, and that they might be encouraged to be strong and courageous and to not have fear. And Lord, if there's anyone that doesn't know Jesus as Saviour, I ask, Lord, that even this morning they might understand that Jesus went to the cross for all their sins, past, present and future, and he died on that cross as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. We thank you, Father, that we can rejoice this morning because Jesus is the Saviour of the world. And I pray for anyone that does not know Jesus, that even this morning they might put their faith in him. Lord, for us that know Jesus, help us to be about proclaiming the good news of the gospel to a fallen world. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.